We'll be focusing on the topic, Access Restored Through Jesus Christ. Our access restored through Jesus Christ. My access restored through Jesus Christ. Let's open our Bible to the book of Ephesians chapter 2, in New King James Version, verses 18 through 19. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 18 through 19. For through him, who is that? Jesus. For through him, we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Verse 19. Now because of that access, now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with who? The saints and members of the household of God. Wow. So you are a family member, an household member of the family of God. When we're talking of access restored, it means originally there was access given unto us, but was taken away, was lost, was removed, was denied. But thank God for Jesus. Thank God for Jesus. Thank God for Jesus. He brought us restoration. We paid nothing. It was offered unto us. I will take us through this elementary journey so that we let's get on track together. Be with me. Let's go back from the genesis of the story of man. How man was given the access and how man lost the access. And by the time we get to the end of it, you see what the first Adam took away from us and what the second Adam gave unto us. In the book of Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, in New Living Translation, the Bible says, then the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground. And after forming the man, the Lord God himself released his breath. He breathed the breath of life into the man's nostrils. And the man became a living person. It means God formed man. Man was just an image. Man was just a statue. It took God to lean over and release his breath upon man. And that breath is what? Life. L-I-F-E. Life came from God unto man. After that breath, that is when the Bible says, and the man became a living soul. When we're looking in the meaning, the true meaning of the word formed in the Hebrew language, according to the Old Testament, in the Hebrew word yaster, it means to mold, to shape, to form. Man was formed. There is difference between created and formed. Man was formed. And it means God already knew, as the master planner, as the master potter, as the all-knowing God, he already knew on it, by himself, what he wants man to be. The shape of the head, the shape of the nose, the shape and the position of the eye. God knows everything that he wants man to be And then he formed man in that image. Not just that he knows the image that he wanted man to be, he also had the power, the ability to make man to become a living soul. That confirms the omniscience and the omnipotence power of God. That is the all-knowing and the all-powerful. So it means when man received the life from God, the power to know that came from God also present in man. So that makes you unique. That is why you are different from animals or trees or any other creatures that God made. The life that came from God unto you and I that made us a living soul is not just the ability to walk, but ability to perform, ability to produce, ability to multiply, to increase, to replenish, to subdue. After God formed man, the Bible says, he released his breath unto man. That is why Jesus said that without me, you can do nothing. So we need God because he is the source of our life. Praise the Lord. The breath of God that we receive is the life and the power of God given unto us. There is something in the book of Job chapter 33 verse 4 that I want us to see what Job is saying about this life that we receive. The Spirit of God has made me. So I want you to see yourself as we starting taking through this journey through the elementary level. You know, you are unique, you are different, you are peculiar. The Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty God, do what? Gives me life. You have the life of God in you, and that life is God himself. It means you can do all things through Christ, the source of your life. Praise God. When God made man, after he released the breath, and man became a living soul, you know what God did? He put man in the Garden of Eden. Genesis chapter 2. Please, I didn't give you that. Genesis chapter 2 from verse 9. Let's see what the scripture says right there. Genesis chapter 2 verse 9. After God made man, he now put man in the garden. And see what God said. The Lord God made all sort of trees grow up from the ground, trees that were beautiful and that produced delicious fruit. In the middle of the garden, he placed the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Please pay attention. After God put man in the garden, God now, in the middle of the garden, he put special two trees. The tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Can we say it together? The tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. How many trees? Two trees. The tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You will understand the meaning of this as we proceed. verse 15 of that chapter 2. From verse 15. The Lord God placed the man in the Garden of Eden to tend and to watch over it. 16. But the Lord God warned the man. The Lord God warned the man, you may freely eat the fruit of every tree in the garden. Every tree in this garden, Adam, touch it, eat it. Verse 17, except. I'm taking you through the journey how man lost the access. Except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Don't forget how many trees were in the middle of the garden. Two major trees were in the middle, besides of everything else that God created. And God now came to man. Do not touch the knowledge of good and evil. That is one out of the two trees. Are you with me? What tree was not mentioned? Tree of life. Do not touch the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Why? If you eat its fruit, you are sure to die. If you eat this fruit, it means you will lose the access. You will lose the access. Let me give you a meaning. The tree of life is to sustain you. The tree of knowledge of good and evil is to test you. Because God wants to prove the love to man and the love of man. If there is no test, if there is no sacrifice, there is no true love. Look at it this way. You really love somebody. It's not cheap. It costs you what? Sacrifice. 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 It costs you sacrifice to love and to express your love. If you love sincerely, it costs God something. It costs Jesus something. When you see two lovers, they sacrifice their time, they sacrifice their money, they sacrifice other pleasures, they create time for each other just because of love. To love is not cheap. True? Yes. To love is not cheap. The tree of life is to sustain. The tree of knowledge of evil and good is to test. And God said, do not touch this tree. It did not say anything about the tree of life because it is God's original intention for man to be sustained forever. God had made provision. There was not going to be death. The sustaining ability was created for man. You will just see, if not because of sin, you will just see things, fruits, everything replenishing at their appointed time. Unfortunately. Everybody say unfortunately. Let's go to chapter 3. Sorry, my people in the booth. I didn't give you the scripture. Chapter 3 of this book of Genesis, from verse 1. After God was done and left man in the garden with the instruction, the serpent was the see that word, see that English. That is why nobody. See, serpent? What is serpent? Snake. That's the one we all know well, well. The serpent was the shrewdest of all the wild animals that the Lord God had made. One day, he came to the woman. He asked the woman, see the lie. Did God really say you must not eat the fruit from any of the trees in the garden? Was that the instruction? But see how the devil put it. And that is how it comes, in a subtle way, cleverly. Try to deceive. It will bring the truth and the lie and mix them up. Then to you and I, it will look like something that worth to pay attention to. And the woman said, of course, we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden. The woman replied, yes. It's only the fruit from the tree in the middle of the garden that we are not allowed to eat. God said, you must not eat or even touch it. If you do, you will die. See what the devil say? Not lie. How dare God telling you die? Put you in this garden with these beautiful fruits and drinks and everything in the garden. It made you to be anything you want to be. You probably misinterpreted what God is saying. You won't die. The serpent replied to the woman, God knows that your eyes will be opened as soon as you eat the fruit. And you will be what? Like God, knowing both good and evil. The woman was convinced. She began, as the devil was talking, that's why you don't pay attention to evil. Because you pay attention to evil, the thing will begin to change color, to be looking attractive. By the time you know, you will be convinced. The woman was convinced. She began to see now that the tree was beautiful. Really? And its fruit looked delicious. Isn't that true? Sin is sweet. Praise God. Sin is what? When you're doing it, the thing is sweet. Sweet to this flesh. You want to do it. That's why when they lock the door, you sneak out. Sin is sweet. That's why when they say no, you look for way. Sin is sweet. She began to look that the fruit is delicious. And she wanted the wisdom that it would give her. So she took some of the fruit and ate it. Then she gave some to who? Honey. Thank God for women. The way God made women, I'm telling you. You know, one time I was telling the man, I said, you... Woman, praise the Lord. You are fearfully made. Praise God. Our women are wonderfully, fearfully made. So the men. But they like that particular song. Fearfully and wonderfully made. Immediately the man came. The woman came to her husband. Hey, babe. Guess what? And the husband pay attention. What? I have something for you. And the man was like, what? Tell me. No, I'm not telling you. Close your eyes. No. You know you do that. You know you do that. It's a surprise. It's a surprise. Surprise. The woman said, this thing is good. What was the instruction to the man? It is not good. Do not touch it. The woman came after listening to serpent, devil, Satan. This thing is good. I took it. At least we are married. We are one. You think I will give you poison? After all these years of being together with you, you think I will bring bad idea? You think I'm here for your downfall? I'm sure, like today, that some men don't want to take opinion when their wife is saying it because they have seen the end of it. You know, women are very good with this. They will start crying. Only I can't believe this. I can't believe this. And I trusted you with my life. I've left my family. I've been part of you. Oh, woman, praise the Lord. But not the woman in the Lord. The women in the Lord are different. Listen, man. Woman knows how to get what they want from you. If a woman doesn't get what he wants from her husband, you need to go back to school. Because there are ways and they're smart with it. Oh, praise God. Oh, man. This God is awesome. He's so unique. The way he made man is different from the way he made woman. By the time the woman is coming with emotion, man will drop everything. So she took some of the fruit and ate it. Then he gave some to her husband who was with her. And he did what? The man, see love. The man forgot what God said. The man did not even say, okay, honey, don't cry. Stop right there. Stop. Give it to me. I'll get back to you. Let me check with God. Amen? He did not. He took it. The next verse. At that moment, immediately, their eyes. See, one time I was reading this scripture, I thought the devil was lying. But I see that the way the devil came is a cunning way, mixing lies with the truth. That was the instruction God gave them. The moment you eat, you will know from good and evil. And God made man as innocent. But that was lost that day. The moment their eyes were opened and they suddenly felt ashamed and their nakedness. So they sewed fig leaves together to cover themselves. They've been like that for years. But now they realized, verse 8. You know what? You know the story. God came. Adam, where are you? The moment they hear the voice of God, the Bible said they did what? See what sin can do. God comes before. They start playing in the garden, visiting them, fellowshipping together, interacting together. Now all of a sudden, because of disobedience, and that changed whom God made a man to be. Now man heard the voice of God and was hiding. Verse 9. Then the Lord called the man, where are you? Yes. He replied, I heard you walking in the garden, so I hid. I was afraid because I was naked. Who told you that you were naked? You were so innocent before. That's how I made you. You always be yourself. Now you know you're naked. You see children. You will be putting clothes on them, they will say no. Wait, after a few years, when they begin to grow, they have. You are passing by their room, they're closing the door. Who told you you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree whose fruit I commanded you not to eat? The man replied, No. Wait, God. It was the woman you gave me. It was the woman, I swear, it was the woman you gave me who gave me the fruit and I ate it. Then the Lord God asked the woman, what have you done? God, I'm so sorry. Woman started again. God, I will never do this again. I'm sincerely sorry, God. It wasn't just me. It was the serpent that deceived me. That's why I ate it. And the Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, you are cursed. More than all animals, domestic and wild, you will crawl on your belly. If you see a snake walking today, my friend, run away. Run, because snakes are not meant to walk. Since that day, they were called to what? To crawl. Go to verse 15. See what God said to the woman, and I will cause hostility. Keep on going, verse 16. Yes? Because of time. Then he said to the woman, I will sharpen the pain of your pregnancy. I will give you a baby, but in pain, you will give birth. And you will desire to control. Man, I want you to cough. And you will desire to control your husband. Oh, man, let's read the next one. But he will rule over you. So when women come and, you know, husband, take it easy with them. When they come after working hours and they come to you after you are eating and all that, you're relaxing, and they're trying to talk to you, you don't blame them. Go back to... See what the scripture says. And nicely, just do what the scripture says too. But he will rule over you. And to the man, since you listened to your wife and ate from the tree whose fruit I commanded you not to eat, the ground is cursed because of you. All your life, you will struggle to scratch a living from it. That growth turns and thrives for you, though you will eat of his grains. That's not the end. By the time you continue the scripture, man that was put in the garden was driven out of the garden. And God put cherubims at the entrance that I don't want to see man to enter. Verse 22, chapter 3 of the book of Genesis. You know why God did that? You will understand it now. That curse is not for you because we had received Christ. So that is why I want you to go in through this journey with me. The Lord said, look, the human beings have become like us. You know why God said that? Because now man's eyes open, knowing both good and evil. This scripture will tell you why God drove man out of the garden. What if they reach out to take fruit from the tree? You know, God didn't tell them that before. He didn't mention that. That tree of life was in the garden. I told you before, the meaning of the tree of life is to sustain you. That's the purpose of the tree of life. And the tree of knowledge of good and evil is to test you. God now says that, what if they reach out, take fruit from the tree of life and eat it? Then they will live forever. They will live forever. And man cannot live forever because the sinless nature have changed to sinful nature. So God looked like, hey, if I don't drive them out, they will take the fruit of life and man will live forever. Man will have the ability to sustain himself forever. Everything will be sustainable for man. That is the original picture of what God destined for man. We wouldn't be working today. Things will just be reproducing itself at the appointed time. You just continue your life because the power to sustain you has been given unto you. But God said, verse 3, 23, so the Lord God banished them from the garden of Eden and sent out Adam to cultivate the ground from which he had been made. Man lost the access. Access denied. The access before is now removed. God's mercy was revealed again. See the program of God. So that you know where to position yourself, you know how to live your life, you know what you stand upon, because you have been redeemed, like the hymn we sang, you have been restored, like the topic of today, access restored through Jesus Christ. Because of what God did, God gave his only begotten son. It's like, man, I love man. I want man back. I can't let man go. God began to yearn. God began to desire. God began to thirst. God began to look for a way. Man did not make the way because man had lost it. Man had lost the access. It was God himself in his infinite mercy began to look for ways. He said, your ways is different from my way. Even though you had missed it, I will bring you back. That is why some of us are alive today. And that is why a lot of us are still dwelling in the Lord, because of the power of restoration. God began to work it out for man. You know what God did? He sent Jesus. John chapter 20, verse 22. He sent Jesus. John chapter 20, verse 22. NLT version. Are you there? God sent Jesus. That is why Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. See, the life that God gave at the time he made man, you remember? That he leaned over and released his breath into man, and man lost the life. God now sent Jesus. Jesus said, then he breathed on them and said, receive. The same thing God did in the Old Testament, Jesus did in the New Testament. He released his breath. That is why when you receive Jesus, you receive his spirit. The spirit of Christ comes upon you. You become like God again. You are restored. From the time you give your life to Jesus Christ, your life is not your life anymore. You have become a new person. That is why the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 17, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. All things have passed away. In the Garden of Eden, you lost the access. All things have passed away, but they have become new. Now you receive Jesus Christ, he released his breath upon you. That same power, hallelujah, somebody, that same power that you lost comes back upon you. When you receive Jesus, your life is changed. Transformation happened. You begin to live the life of Christ. Romans chapter 8 verse 9 says something. If anyone does not have the spirit of Christ, it's not. But you are not in the flesh because you had received my breath, right? but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, it's not his. Read it in NLT. But you are not controlled by your sinful nature. You are controlled by the Spirit if you have the Spirit of God living in you. And remember that those who do not have the Spirit of Christ living in them do not belong to Him at all. Everybody say, thank you, Jesus. To receive Jesus is easy. God is not asking you to fast 40 days. All you have to do is to accept Him and confess Him as your Lord and Savior and believe in what He did and what He had come to offer you. He had come to offer you life that was lost in the garden. He had come to offer you life. And the moment you receive the life of Jesus, you have access back. Access is restored. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Paul the apostle says something right there. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Brethren, Jesus brought back the access. Second Adam gave back the access that we lost through the first Adam. Any children of God here today, do you have your access back to God? Children of God, shout hallelujah. What is access mean? What is access? When we're talking of access, what does that mean to you? Access means having the ability, the right permission, openness, freedom. That is the access. We have the right ability, the ability, the ability, the ability, the access is the ability, the freedom is the access. The openness is the access. If I give you the key to my house now, do you go there and stay outside even if I'm not home? You use the key and you do what? You enter. The access that we have through Jesus Christ brought us back to God. So everything about God became ours again. Isn't that awesome? So why are you praying for things that you shouldn't be praying for? Why do you wait for things for you to be inspired before you wake up? Somebody have access and open the door and come inside. See, the Bible says something in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 12. Because access that we have comes with other two things. Thank God for Jesus. Everybody say, thank God for Jesus. Thank God for Jesus. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 12. In New King James Version. There are three things right there. Because of Christ. Can we read it together? In whom we have boldness and access and confidence. Is it by what? Through faith. In? Let's rearrange them as ABC so that we'll remember that easily. Access, boldness, confidence. Say it with me. Access, boldness, confidence. Say it one more time. Access, boldness, say it with confidence. Access, boldness. Through Jesus Christ, we have access. Through Jesus Christ, we have boldness. Through Jesus Christ, we have confidence. These three things work together. They are totally different. Boldness is assurance. It's a brave way of behaving that shows no fear. One is bold. There is no iota of fear in them. When someone that have access but doesn't have boldness come into the house, they're going to stay in one place. You will see them just sitting in the living room. But when someone that have access and bold comes into a house, what do? They get up. They get up. The third one is confidence. I will now bring them all together. Confidence is ability to rely. It's the state of being certain. Somebody can have access, be bold. If you don't have confidence, you will come into the house, you will get up to move around, then you will not take what you want. Are you with me? You can have access. Graduate, be bold. When you have access and boldness, graduate, be confident. When you put the three together, you come into the house, you will get up, you move from one bedroom to another, you go to the kitchen. You know, some people can just move around, go to the kitchen, open the refrigerator. Oh, wow, oh my God. It's a lot of food. Hey. I'm go to the bedroom. Oh my God, see this bedroom, see the bed. Wow. See the shoes, see all the clothing, see the jewelries. But if somebody like me that have access and have boldness and I have confidence, I come into the house, I will go to the room, I will open the refrigerator, I will take the food, I will take care of myself, I will go to the bathroom and take a shower. When I'm done with the shower, I will go to the bedroom and lay down on the bed. Put the three together. That is whom you are in the Lord. That's what God gave you. Don't come to your father and be timid. God, I don't know if I should ask this now because it may be a lot. I know you care for a lot of people in this whole world. Everybody is on you. They come shouting on you today, Sunday now. Everybody is praying all over. God, if you can just give me, though I need 5,000. If you can just give me 2,000, I'm okay. You know, a lot of believers are like that. As they have their access, they are thinking, this is too much for God. This may be, maybe not. I'm not too sure. Let me start small. Use your access. Use your boldness. Use your confidence. And possess your possession. I told you the other time, a lot of us spend time praying for what God doesn't produce. Asking God for what He doesn't give. When God give you trees, see furniture, you asking, you fasting, praying for chairs. And God said, I don't give furniture. I give trees. When I give you trees, make furnitures. That's why a lot of prayers are not answered. Because people spending time and asking God what He doesn't give, He's giving you what He has. When you see the trees, begin to think, begin to imagine, expand your coast. See this building we have here, thank God for the architect. If you see before it's on the paper, and from the paper, the map where you will sit, where the sitting will be, where everything will be, where the pastors, where the choir, where the entrance, where the windows, no be so. That's how it started. And you see, they start building it, putting it together according to the paper. What led to that? The power of thinking. When we can think, we'll be able to use the resources that God has given us and use it well. People that cannot imagine, people that cannot flow with God. When you give them $20, they go to Burger King. From Burger King, they go to Chinese, and the $20 is done. But people that can think, the people that knows their God, they will do exploit. You give them $20, come back tomorrow, $20 has become 40. Because they were able to use the resources well. One time in Orange, I told you, I said, rich people spend money, but wealthy people grow money. There is difference between the two. Grow the ability God has given you. Expand your coast. We have been called to take dominion. We have been called to subdue. We have been called to replenish. We need to use our authority. We have access. Be bold about it, because it is not about you. It is about the authority that you have. And that authority that you have gives you boldness. And with the boldness that you have, be confident about it. Walk majestically. Possess your possession. You need this. Declare it. That's all it takes. Brethren, I'm telling you the honest truth. Some things we don't pray for it. We don't do what? You don't have to pray. I have access. I'm in the house. And I'm hungry. And there is food. So I should stay there and be praying. Isn't that craziness? You came to Pastor Victor's house. He gave you the key. He said, go. I'm in New Jersey. You just go. I will meet you. And you haven't eaten all day. And you sat down there. God, bring Pastor Victor on time. Let him come home on time. There is food here. God, you know I'm hungry. Pastor Victor, begin to come. In Jesus' name, I won't come. Because God is using me too for something else. You are giving you the access. That is God telling you, I won't do it. Because what you're telling me to do, I already gave it to you. How can you stay there? Oh, I need success. Ah, God, in Jesus' name. Oh, yeah, you don't pray for it. I have success in the name of Jesus. You need healing. You are praying. That God, if you can just heal me. No. Get up. God wants you to be brave. You have access. You have boldness. You have confidence. You take it. I have my healing in the name of Jesus. You have a boss. You need to approach your boss. You don't stand there and say, God, should I go? No. God, should I? No. Okay, let me go. You came to the door. Then you go back. Ah, you are not a child of God. A child of God are brave like lion. They will come confidently. Sir, I need to talk with you. Because you already settled it with your father. Lord, I'm going in Jesus' name. The heart of the king is in God's hand. And that is the word. That is the word. As you are going, you are looking. Because you have confidence. Not in yourself, in the one that is in you. The greater one is in you, more greater than the one that is in the world. And when you come to speak to your superior, they're watching your boldness, your confidence. You are the one giving them direction with wisdom, with humility, professionally, and you possess your possession. And you walk away. You should be operating at a higher level. See what Jesus did. I will be closing with that. Are you with me? Matthew chapter 27, verse 50. Listen, I'm not saying prayer is not good. Prayer is good. Prayer is communicating with God. Prayer is not God give me. Prayer is God, I'm in agreement with you. That is prayer. You declare what God said. You stand in agreement with the word of God. You communicating with God. That is prayer. Prayer is not Lord in Jesus' name. No, In Jesus' name, this is mine. Because you remember what Christ did. And Jesus cried out with a loud voice, yielded up his spirit. Verse 51, listen to this. Then behold, immediately when Jesus yelled, cried in a loud voice, the Bible says, behold, the veil of the temple was torn into two. From where? From the top, where you cannot reach. The power of the Lord went on the top for you because you couldn't reach it. It turned from the top to the bottom. And immediately that the veil was removed, that's not the end. The earth quaked. That's not the end. And the rocks were split. See those things that happened. In order for you to have access, why will you now have the access and you will not use it? And the graves were open, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. Jesus brought us access that Adam took from us. When he came, he said, "It is finished." Stop praying prayer that is irritating to God's hearing. Begin to use your authority as a child of God. In order for you to have that access, he cried. He yelled in a loud voice. In order for you to have that access, the earth quaked. In order for you to have that access, the rock split. You think Jesus did all that in vain? And at the end of it, he said, "My son, my daughter, it is now finished." That is, you have nothing to do anymore. There is no barrier. You see that tree of life? Now we have access to it. The power to sustain you is in you. It's in the life that Jesus breathed upon you. So you have the ability to experience reproduction, replenishing in every areas of your life. Thank God for Jesus. Reposition yourself from today. Begin to live in the surplus. Begin to live in the abundance. Begin to live the life that Jesus, God, wants you to live. Use your access. Use your boldness. Use your confidence and possess your possession. Be on the top from today in Jesus' name. Yes, begin to see vision. Begin to see clarity. Begin to see revelation. Begin to understand the purpose of your living. The purpose of your living is not to live from one day to another by just crying and no. We rule and reign here on earth. That is the purpose of God for our life. But you cannot rule and reign if you don't have boldness, if you don't have confidence in what God has given you. Jesus said, "It is finished." Change your focus. Change your understanding. Get up and take dominion. You've been called to subdue. You've been called to replenish. You've been called to dominate because of what Jesus had given us. Access denied, access restored through Jesus. Rise up on your feet.